This is the Out of the Red podcast, hosted by Natalie O'Brien and Lisanna Murray. Out of the Red is the podcast for business owners and professionals alike who are pro-technology and want to keep their businesses in the black and out of the red.
And in this episode, conversation with a software engineer. We talk about what the profession does, some of its upsides as well as some of its downsides, and some advice at the end for anyone interested in getting into the field. Stay tuned and enjoy.
And we are having some, we have some noise in the background that lets you know that this is a very real podcast. This is no fancy, you know, millions of dollars invested behind this brand. This is done by actual entrepreneurs living this life. So you would hear some noise in the background, including the chickens that we experiment on crowing in the background. No, that's just the local wildlife. I am one of your hosts, Lisanna Murray.
And I am Natalie O'Brien.
Okay. Today we are doing conversations with a software engineer.
Explain what a software engineer does.
Okay, so this has never been particularly easy for me because I do jump, I'll admit, from systems engineer, systems architect, software engineer, blah, blah, blah. Generally, I would, in casual conversation, I'll just tell people, yeah, I'm a software developer. But I choose engineer for this because there's a little bit more to what I do than what you may find, I don't want to say typically, but I work a lot with systems. And I don't just write lines of code. I look at, you know, entire systems. Sometimes I assist in the design of the system. So far, really, have I just been, you know, in a project to write the code. There's usually some level of planning as well that I'm involved with. Engineering, in the sense that what you would find with somebody who may say that they're a programmer, their job sometimes may literally be just to write code on behalf of a client. Mm-hmm. Usually they have a much cleaner relationship in the sense that whether it's full-time employment or an outsourced contractor, they are given exact tasks to get done. Mm-hmm. And they get those tasks done.
At a specific time.
Yeah, within a particular time frame. With me, most times clients are really 100% clear on what it is they want done, so you usually have to go through certain steps to extract from them what we call the requirements.
Okay, so as a software developer, you would say there's a process that people need to go through before you can give the end result.
Generally, yeah,
right. Okay. So could you kind of explain the process? It's like from the beginning stage.
So
that's an overview of the different stages.
Yeah, no problem. So, of course, it'll be different depending on
the client.
On who, yeah, not just the client, but who the professional is. Mm-hmm. Generally, from an academic background, we go through, you know, the feasibility studies part where we try to understand, okay, yes, this person wants to hire us to do this, but does this make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
If that succeeds, we go through the initial analysis of what needs to be done. Before that, sometimes we have what you call the requirements gathering stage, which is where you actually try to get the requirements for whatever software, product, or system the client has requested. So a lot of times, actually, people would have what they think are requirements. But when you look at it, they just have a list of features.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't clearly defined the end results. So you have to go through that requirement gathering. That may involve sitting down with their staff, looking at their existing system, see how it works, documenting that. Because sometimes people don't have any documentation whatsoever on their workflows or policies or whatnot.
So that is a key thing.
Yeah. Very important. So after that analysis stage, you will go through the development where you would actually, depending on your development model, you may sit down with the client and their staff and go through different iterations, you know, basically cycles of development. Here is the software doing what we want. This is the software doing what we want. Some people may go for a big design upfront thing, which I do not do because it's prone to error, but where they just design the whole system and just start to implement it, and at the end they say, hey, this is the system. That rarely ever works out well. But after that, that development part, you basically have some testing with the iterative workflow again. Most of the testing actually gets done within there, so by the time you actually finish, the user is already familiar with the system. But in other cases, you may want to do some final testing on the whole system. And after that, based on relationship, you may have a maintenance contract where, you know, you fix bugs and whatnot.
Yeah, and then upgrade according to how technology
how it goes. Yeah. Generally, I just give my clients a warranty, and usually any problems with the software in terms of bugs, I would fix for free. If they want new features added, of course, that would have to be negotiated in a new contract. And that's basically, you know, that's basically a light version of what we call the software development lifecycle. The engineering as opposed to development part now comes into play because I go through the same steps and whatnot, but a lot of attention is actually paid to the quality of the solution. And when I say the quality, I mean, our focus is actually put to make sure that this thing is going to continue running. It's not going to keep crashing and have random bugs and that kind of thing. So even though they have that warranty, they may not actually have to use it, or they may not use it much, because during the development of the software, I've put a lot of attention into developing that.
The quality.
Oh,
okay. So as a software developer, you would liaise with other software developers in Trinidad. Could you give me a few the pros and cons in the sense of when dealing with clients from like on a consultant view rather than just the working, but like consulting with your clients? So in that, explaining more of how how do I say this? So, my first interview people.
okay, so you want me to kind of talk about the good and the bads of interacting with local clients? In some cases, the lack of detailed knowledge or experience with the whole process could play to your advantage, because you know you don't have those, oh well, make sure you're using TSR 01670s or industry best practice, blah blah blah. You know, you really have to put up with that. But at the same time, it can be a pain because, you know, you try to because the success of a project is not entirely dependent on the engineer or the developers involved. Also depends on the client having active interest in the project. So like when I talk about that iterative workflow, clients that are very interested in the success of the project and dedicate some time to be part of that iterative workflow helps the success. But in some cases, clients may not be that interested to go through that. They may find it too tedious. But in some cases, they may just figure out, well, you know, I hire the plumber to come and fix the sink, and he just fixed the sink. He doesn't ask me to stand up next to him and hold the toolbox for him. So they may not want to, they may not understand that this is different. They may not understand the importance of their input. And then when the project fails, you know, you have a lot of explaining to do. Good luck trying to convince the person who has to sign your check that it's his fault. The software didn't meet the deadline. So that can be an issue. And then there are some cases where people just, because of locals, because of their experiences abroad, they think like they know so much more than you. Like, you know, I once ran into a potential client who was obsessed with ownership and patents and whatnot, without even actually outlining. He was so obsessed with it, he doesn't even want to describe what he wants done.
But he wants
a system. So I began to explain to him, well, you know, when it comes to patterns and those kind of things, if you're talking about features such as, you know, an activity wall that may allow different staff members to see what's taking place in the organization, you can't really begin to talk about patterns with that. Well, you shouldn't be able to, I should say, because those are common
features
you would see in application.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm telling him, if that's the kind of thing you're talking about, you need to be specific so that I can give you some guidance. Mm. Now, he mentioned that's one of the things that he would like, you know, patterns and whatnot. And, you know, I explained to him, you know, that wouldn't even make sense.
Mm.
So you should have that conversation with me and tell me more, but he didn't want to tell me anything more. I think
that you would take the idea or go with it.
Because he thinks he has all the best ideas in the world, and he's the only one with these ideas. So you'll come across these as, I would basically call them, in my opinion, nut jobs. And you have to you're a professional, so you can't, you know, look at them and be like, hey, you are crazy, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, you know.
But then they might say, you're crazy. And
yeah. So, you know, you come across people like this and they will take up a lot of your time because, you know, I've learned how to deal with that now. But when I was now starting off, I spent a lot of time sitting down with people who are clearly, you know, because some people, when they hear software or app and this kind of thing and they see the $1 million transactions.
Yeah.
On the news or they know about transactions when they were in the States or whatnot.
Yeah.
And you could see the greed in their eyes.
Yeah.
So they would ask you a million and one questions and they have no interest whatsoever in pursuing, you know, this project with you because it's either they would rather find some family member or something that they feel more comfortable with or that they could take advantage of. They don't have the money to put into it. Or they just, you know, feeding their ego.
Yeah.
So you have to,
and they just look there. As you say, they're just looking at the end product, the ka-ching, and not not the work that it takes to get that ka-ching.
Correct. So that can be an issue. But I would to end that part on a positive note, I would say though sometimes working with locals can be a great joy because the right mentality allows you as well to learn.
And to grow your business.
Yeah, and to grow your, well, of course, you get paid.
But I mean, grow in the sense you get more knowledgeable in the different industries that you'll be dealing with. Not that you're going to be focused on just one tech, but at least you have an understanding and an appreciation for the customers, well, your client or whoever, service or product, how their business go.
And, you know, that's actually something that I get fed up of writing literal software, but this is something I'm starting to really enjoy about, you know, being a consultant on the whole, especially a software engineering consultant or a systems engineering consultant, because I get to see different businesses and how different people run their organizations, you know, and that, I think, from an educational standpoint, I think that is such a great experience that I'm so thankful for.
Brilliant.
You know, it's really great because when I was when I left school, actually secondary school, I had worked like 13 jobs before I got my first serious study job, and I did that because the economy was really good.
Yeah,
and I was jumping from organization to organization, just small jobs, mostly retail and you know, warehouse work and that kind of thing. But I got to see different organizational cultures and how they solve different problems. And I spent like 6 years, nearly 6 or 7 years in the last place I was. I don't remember how long, but somewhere around there before I came out as an independent. And I really was lacking that, you know, view of how people do things differently. And I really like this about consulting. You get to see how people tackle problems differently.
Yeah.
And it even helps because clients would have certain problems that may not even necessarily be what you solve, but you could say, well, okay, I saw this is how you these can, people solve this particular you them, problem.
Give
you know?
Them guidelines.
And yeah, I just think it's great.
Okay. So what would you say to somebody who wants to get into becoming a software engineer locally? In this, well, a local student now coming up, What is some of the advice you would give to them?
Well, truthfully, one of the things that I say, as you know, is I tell people, don't do it. But
well, I think most people tell anybody, ask if they want to do your profession, don't do it. But
yeah, there's a lot of difficulty involved. But with the right mindset, though, if you keep your, in terms of making income, if you pay attention, which I have not, unfortunately, but if you pay more attention to making those foreign contacts so that you could get a foreign income, that's good. Also, don't obsess over, no, do learn what aspect of the industry and the field you really like, you know, and master it well, but don't get yourself stuck in one particular place, and don't be obsessed with technology, focus on how technology is used in different industries and fields, and try to get as much exposure as possible, bring your tech knowledge into those industries, so that people see, like, wow, this is a guy that could write this software. This is a girl or a woman or a man that could write this software.
Yeah.
And is also really knowledgeable about what we do here. This person is gold.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, okay.